From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Tomorrow, civil rights groups from across the country will gather in Washington, D.C. to mark the 40th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Several provisions of that landmark act are set to expire 2 years from now. While reauthorization of the act isn't a done deal, the House Judiciary Committee does plan to address the matter soon. The Voting Rights Act resulted from Dr. Martin Luther King's ill-fated first march on Selma, Alabama in 1965. TV broadcast of peaceful civil rights protesters brutally beaten by police crystallized public support for a federal voting rights bill. Less than 6 months after the march, on August 6, 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed the historic Voting Rights Act, guaranteeing African Americans the right to vote.
They came in darkness, and they came in chains, and today, we strike away the last major shackle of those fierce and ancient bonds.
Joining me now to discuss Tuesday's conference and Voting Rights Act reauthorization are, from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., Wade Henderson, Executive Director of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, and Larry Gonzalez, Director of the Washington Office of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials Educational Fund. Gentlemen, welcome. Wade, let me start with you. Talk to me about why you decided to convene the conference.
Well, thanks, Ed. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 is really one of the most important and transformative initiatives of the 20th century, and really of all the rights for which Americans have fought and died, none is more important than the right to vote. It was the Voting Rights Act that removed barriers to electoral participation, and it remains an important tool of our representative democracy today. So what we're talking about is really not simply commemorating the history of the Voting Rights Act. We're really talking about current-day barriers and problems to electoral participation, and certainly not just about African Americans. It's really about all Americans. It's about Latinos and Asian Americans and Native Americans and persons who are concerned about ensuring that our representative democracy is as effective as it can be. So that's what this conference will focus on. And when you said that three of its key provisions are scheduled to expire, it's important for us to educate the public about why reauthorizing those three provisions is necessary. One of those provisions, known as Section 5, deals with the question of whether a local jurisdiction that has a history of past discrimination should continue to pre-clear any changes in its electoral system with the Department of Justice. A second provision, known as Section 203, deals with ensuring that American citizens who speak languages other than English have the opportunity to participate equally in our electoral system. And the third provision deals with ensuring that the federal government has the ability to deploy monitors to those jurisdictions where past practices indicate we may have some future problems. And I think all your listeners know these are important issues that have current day resilience, and it's important that we focus on the barriers to electoral participation today.
And Wade, as you suggest there, the commemoration is important, but I know one of the things that you have talked about even before, quite frankly, and we've known each other for years, even before people are starting to gaze their attention on this, is the importance of making sure that the common man understands what this does for him.
Well, that's absolutely right, Ed. I mean, this is really a conference sponsored by the Leadership Conference and Civil Rights Education Fund and eight national civil and human rights organizations representing a variety of different communities. This broad coalition that's come together to focus on public education is really to help educate the American people about why our electoral system continues to need the intervention of the Voting Rights Act to make certain that every American has the same right to cast a ballot, to have that ballot counted, but more importantly and equally importantly, to ensure that we all have a voice in the electoral system that affects our lives.
Larry Gonzalez, for many, the Voting Rights Act is synonymous with African Americans, but we should note that this really covers a cast a far wider net. When we talk about your constituency, how important do they see the Voting Rights Act?
Well, it's extremely important. When you talk about a constituency base that consists of Latino elected officials, the reality is many of them were elected because of the Voting Rights Act. I think one of the challenges that we face as a national Latino advocacy organization, and it underscores the importance of tomorrow's conference, is to educate the community, as you said earlier. We need to talk, have a dialogue with Latino voters and get them to understand why these are important, that there is a history of discrimination similar to African Americans. That's why Latinos were later added on to the Voting Rights Act, particularly as Wade mentioned, the language minority provisions are extremely important and have really been the key to allowing millions of Hispanic voters across this nation the ability to participate in the electoral process.
While we see this as a growing block, Latinos, and obviously a growing block politically as well as the voting muscle, many of them, quite frankly, are just starting to come into the system and understand the workings of it. What kind of educational tool has your organization put out there, and in terms of bonding with others who have a like-minded philosophy in making sure that the importance of this act is understood?
Right. Well, I think particularly when you talk about the language minority provisions, when you talk about the ability of voters, American citizens, to participate in their native language, the voting materials, we work very closely with the Asian American community, with Native Americans. And I think that's the real value of this coalition. It's the leadership of folks like Wade Henderson with the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights to bring a very strong coalition to the table to begin that dialogue with members of Congress. We're very encouraged, as you mentioned, Ed, that the House Judiciary Chairman has shown interest in renewing. So we really look forward to working with the Congress and moving this thing forward.
It seems, Wade, that Congress, those who are on the side of re-upping the Voting Rights Act, have been speaking out, quite frankly, loudly and early this go-round. One of the proponents of it is Ted Kennedy, who was with us not so long ago and voiced his support and strong want to get the word out. But I'm curious, we should also note that the Voting Rights Act, the provision itself, has been renewed three times, and each time the federal government has been sued by states. The Supreme Court has upheld the constitutional value of the act, but I'm curious, when you look at the new nominee, John Roberts, we've seen so many close votes. We should note that while an aide with the Reagan administration, he helped develop a legal argument to try to narrow the scope of the Voting Rights Act. I'm wondering if you're concerned at all about this possible nominee.
Ed, it's a great question. I think, and you're absolutely right, that in the past, when the act was reauthorized, it has been challenged in the federal courts. But each time the act has been upheld as constitutional, I'm quite confident that it will be upheld again. John Roberts' confirmation in the end will not affect the constitutionality of the Voting Rights Act. Having said that, however, we need to build a base of support among the American people and among all political parties to ensure that there's continuing support for this effort. Senator Kennedy and Congressman Mel Watt, the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressman Charlie Gonzalez, who leads the civil rights arm of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, are all actively involved. But so are Chairman James Sensenbrenner, the Republican who heads the House Judiciary Committee and has announced his support for reauthorization. And we're quite confident that Arlen Specter will do likewise. At the end of the day, this is an important effort to bring the American people together, regardless of party affiliation, to make sure that our electoral system continues to reflect the broad input of all of the American people. And it's the Voting Rights Act that helps to remove the barriers that prevents that from happening. And that's why it's so important today.
Mr. Gonzalez, let me take you to a larger question. A number of people are taking a look at the want for a bonding, if you will, a melding of minorities in this country to bring even greater political power. When you look at the a marriage of like-mindedness here for the Voting Rights Act, I'm curious personally how this has gone in terms of working with African-American groups, Asian-American groups, as a projector, if you will, to possible future fights and alliances.
Right. Well, I think anytime you talk about coalitions, there are always going to be fights, but I have felt that many of our fights have been very productive ones. Number one, there's a history of this particular coalition, whether it's an accurate count in the census or other civil rights-related issues. This has been a very strong coalition. We worked together in developing the Help America Vote Act here in Congress. So, you know, it has been very productive. I'm sure there'll be more fights as we go down the road, but I think that folks are of a like mind, speaking in one voice at this point. And again, Ed, I think the important element here is our own leaders in Congress have stepped up to the plate and are going to be together also speaking in one voice with the advocacy groups.
Yeah. But Ed, it's important to note that this is a coalition that cuts across racial and ethnic lines. It brings together all Americans concerned about ensuring policies are progressive and actually help all citizens participate in the electoral process. And that's why the coalition of civil rights groups that came together to support this conference tomorrow are joined by a host of other progressive interests trying to make this happen and succeed.
And Wade, is the conference open to the public?
The conference is open to the public. It'll be held here at Washington at the Hyatt Regency Hotel on Capitol Hill. People like John Lewis, the great distinguished congressman, and Charlie Gonzalez, another congressman, lots of others, Mel Watt will be there. We really encourage the public to participate.
All right. Wade Henderson, Executive Director of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, and Larry Gonzalez, Director of the Washington Office of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials Educational Fund. I thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.